This is Progressive Radio, a weekly conversation hosted by Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine, a leading voice for peace and social justice. For more information about Progressive Radio or The Progressive Magazine, log on to our website at progressive.org.
I'm Matt Rothschild, and welcome to Progressive Radio, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Today, it's a great pleasure to have in the studio with me Amy Ray.
Hey.
Half of the Indigo Girls, but she's also released several solo albums. She's a political activist, too. Her latest solo album, called Lung of Love, just came out earlier this year. Amy Ray, welcome back to Progressive Radio.
Thanks for having me.
What's new by you?
Oh, man. I guess a lot of stuff, but I put this record out, and I've been on the road for a few months with my band, playing electric kind of rock shows, and and watching the political landscape and how it's laying out ahead of us.
Yeah, what do you make of the landscape?
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of looking at three different things, which is like the immigration issues, across the U.S. And there's so many great activists doing work on that. A lot of battles being lost, but at the same time, there's all these groups doing great work and sort of innovating how to approach it, and so that's important to me. And the group I'm with, Honor the Earth, that does native environmental activism, we are working to kind of change the energy paradigm to sustainable, so always looking at that. And then obviously there's been some big gay rights battles going on.
How'd you react to President Obama's announcement about same-sex marriage?
I reacted very well, because right before that we had been working on the North Carolina Amendment 1 battle, which was we lost. But I spent a lot of time in Carolina, so I was up there a lot working on that. And the vote went from like 70% of people against it to, I can't remember what it ended up being, but it was the polling that we did and other groups did, people were changing their minds, and it became almost split down the middle at some point. But then, when people get into the polls, they vote differently sometimes than what they tell you they're going to do and stuff. So,
and that's happened at every state. I mean, we had that battle here in Wisconsin several years ago. We lost it. We lost it badly. I think it was 58-42, and it was crushing, really, for people who were involved in it. But, the American people are moving on this.
Yeah. And I think, Obama made a really brave move, and I'm proud of him for doing that, because I think he's had a rough time standing up for what he believes all the time. And I think it was impressive, really impressive. And that's what we need. We need just like people that have vision to sort of set the attitude and the tone, for our country in a different way.
And the way he did it was powerful too. The statement he made, he didn't just, say, yeah, I'm for same-sex marriage, or even like Joe Biden, I got no problem with same-sex marriage. I mean, he really made a persuasive argument talking about people he actually knows and admires, who are gay couples, who have kids, and who are as moral as anybody else.
Yeah,
and exactly. I thought that was really, really powerful. Especially, when he talked about his daughters and their parents, and also and their friends' parents. But also, the thing I guess that struck me the most was talking about his staff, his staff members. Because the Progressive, we've always had members on the staff who are gay and lesbian, and just super great people. And I think, what he was saying is, when you really know someone and they're out of the closet and they're wonderful people, you've got to realize they've got the same right as everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's interesting because there's a lot of intersection in those ideas, and also in the immigration battles, because what we noticed in the South, especially with groups, that there's like a group down there called SONG, Southerners on New Ground, that works hand in hand on gay issues and also immigration issues and issues around poverty and class and just kind of quality of life in the South generally. And what it is is that when you're talking to someone face to face, or people experience people in their lives, let's say, that are illegal immigrants or people that are gay, it's like that one-on-one getting to know your neighbor thing and working together, it's like you can't, once that bond happens, it's very hard to, dehumanize people again. So one thing I think is effective is that reaching out and saying, like, we have people in our workplace, people in my family, the guys that I know that are working on this house or the people that are running this, this restaurant group or whatever. It's like there's all these different people that you meet and you go, oh, yeah, they're tied to this issue. And you kind of, what we try to do is humanize things, and just say, And in the South, especially during the immigration stuff, I mean, that has been the, because, you know, all the farmers down there are just like suffering because of the laws in Georgia and Alabama. And it's just like, they're saying like, these are our people, these are the people that are working these farms for us. Like, yeah, these, I mean, are our, these are not, and they're our neighbors now, and they're our friends, and they're part of our community. And we can't just like turn them away and have them living in fear.
And so I heard they couldn't even bring their crops in too.
Yeah. I mean, and I think the same, you know, when you also equate that to like, if you had a boycott of all the gay people in the United States and said, you know, okay, y'all don't work for a day, it's the same thing. It's like you will discover very quickly that your food and the things that you care about, all the things that you need to do to get through your day, there's a lot of gay people working on that, you know? Right. and there's a lot of immigrants too, you know? So it's like illegal aliens, you know, for lack of a better term, I guess. But yeah, so anyway, I really like to tie all those battles together, I think, and look at it as just a human situation.
Speaking with Amy Ray, singer-songwriter of Indigo Girls fame and a solo artist too. She's got a new album out called Lung of Love that we'll get to in a bit. You know, Molly Ivins, the great writer from Texas, used to write for The Progressive. And when she talked to me sometimes, she'd kind of pimp me a little bit and say, you know, it's easy to be a progressive in Madison, Wisconsin. You ought to come down south for a second.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, as a person from the South, how you have wrestled with, you know, talking to people in a climate that is a little more hostile, perhaps, than in Madison, Wisconsin.
Well, I guess I was raised in a really conservative family too, so I'm used to that dialogue, and I appreciate the dialogue. Actually, I feel most comfortable if I'm in an area where people don't agree with each other, because that's what I know of life, you know. So for me, it gives me perspective, and I like to hear people on the other side and why they feel the way they do. But you know, it's definitely, I mean, I live in a rural area too in Georgia that I've lived for 20 years. And, you know, I love the people that live around me. And, you know, when there's a big ice storm or we all need to help each other out, we drop all of our differences and do that. But definitely we stand on either sides of a lot of issues. And a lot of stuff is faith-based. So I like to have respect for somebody's faith, but at the same time, it's hard when it's so intolerant of like who I am. But at the same time, I was raised in the church, so I kind of understand it. It's like, it's hard. It's like I feel so much a part of that land and the South and just part of the land. And it's like, yet everything I am is in some ways sometimes rejected by it. But I think you can find little ways to get to know your neighbors and things that you have in common. And I mean, it's pretty amazing. I've seen a lot of progress in the city that I live in just with articulating like gay issues. You know, I live near a military college that's very religious as well. But they have a student gay alliance, a straight gay alliance now. They have their class president a few years ago was a gay African American man. So it's like, I mean, that's crazy, you know, for the school. So I think like I see these little victories happening where people are just, I think it's generational too. I think the younger people that are coming up, like in my town, for instance, they are starting to change their minds about things, even though there's still a lot of bullying and homophobia and stuff like that, you know. But I think it's important in any area that you live in to, like, try to understand the other side and really try to understand it. Try to empathize with it, because there's people have real reasons to feel the way they feel, even if it's based on fear or something that you don't understand. It's good to know and then to talk about it. I mean, so I think that's what the South has given me, you know, more than anything. And it's the birthplace of the civil rights movement. Right. I mean, there's some great activists down there, right, who are very creative and had to be, you know.
I mean, it's been a great nonviolent revolution, gay rights revolution here in the last 50 years.
Yeah.
You mentioned bullying, so it brought to mind that Mitt Romney incident from his high school days.
Right.
What do you make of Romney?
I mean, he's not my man. I don't know what to say about him. I just don't agree with his views. I don't feel anything personal against him at all. Not anything. You know, I just disagree with pretty much everything he speaks out on. You know, he's definitely way to the right of where I stand. But
he's on the right on immigration too, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he doesn't win, because I think it would be, for me, it would feel really bad, and I don't agree with him, but I don't have anything against him. You know, I don't think he's like an evil person or anything, you know. And I mean, that bullying incident, who knows? I mean, kids, honestly, kids are so, we do a lot of stuff when we're young that we feel bad about too. So I'm not saying that was bad, you know. I'm just saying like, sometimes I don't like it when politics gets to this kind of place where it's like trying to unearth all these things. It's like, come on now. Let's talk about the real issues that are going on right now, you know, because whether this man was compassionate as a 15-year-old is, you know, who knows, right?
Amy Ray, what are some of the real issues you think we got to wrestle with right now?
Well, immigration. I think we need to wrestle with that. I think we need to find a way to let people stay in this country. The Dream Act would have been a good thing. I think we need to really work on that issue. I think we need to work on more on sustainable energy. I think we need to fund that more. I think we need to still be looking at taking more subsidies away from big oil and nuclear. I think we need to look at, I still think we need to look at health insurance issues. I think we need to look at public health issues, preventative type stuff.
I think my wife's a public health nurse, so you're talking my tune here.
Yeah. Big, you know, big time, like food in schools. I think we need to look at food. I think we need to look at how our kids interact with food, and I think we're starting to do that. I think Michelle Obama has done a great job of supporting that. So I feel really good about, you know, I think a lot of people are more aware of, like, this idea of, like, sustainable agriculture and you know, the concept of food deserts and trying to make sure people have healthy food in wherever they live and get kids to interact with gardening and, you know, how all that works and how their food is kind of brought to their table.
You know, Wendell Berry says if you can grow one bit of food in your garden, that's a radical act.
Yeah, it is, actually. It is. You know, have a blueberry bush or something or a tomato plant.
A carrot.
Yeah. So those are big things to me. I mean, obviously the gay issues are close to my heart because I'm gay, but I spend probably as much time on Native American issues. And there's a lot of, I mean, up here, there's a lot of mine. There's going to be some mining issues up here and in northern Minnesota.
Yeah, Michigan, that's a big fight.
Yeah, a lot. And I mean, it's interesting because they're declassifying the wolf as an endangered species
hunt
or whatever.
The wolf up north, they've been wanting to. Scott Walker's been wanting to open up the north watershed to mining that would contaminate wild rice, traditional food source and cultural source there, and also it could leach into the Lake Superior, too, which would be a huge disaster.
Yeah. But I feel like, I know Honor the Earth's done some work up in Wisconsin with mining in the past, and I feel like there's always these great community efforts that, like, totally, like, are able to win these battles. It's incredible. Because if you can fight a company for long enough, they run out of resources.
Right.
You know, and they won't fight it anymore. They'll just give up. They'll be like, it's too expensive to mine here. Let's go somewhere else.
Have you been working with Winona LaDuke still?
Yeah. Winona LaDuke is still the executive director of Honor the Earth. And, you know, she's still our fearless leader. We're doing some fundraising in August. She's out there speaking, and she put out a book called The Militarization of Indian Country. That's a really interesting book that Honor the Earth kind of helped put out with her. And that's pretty cool. And she's been doing a lot of speaking engagements and writing and stuff. So, you know, we just did a grant making cycle. I guess it was 3 months ago. We gave out $150,000. We do, I mean, it's not a ton of money because we're small, but it's like, these are people that can, you know, with $5,000, they can do amazing things, you know.
And so who do you give the money to, for instance?
Like, we would give it to, like, the Black Mesa Water Coalition, for instance, or the Black Mesa Trust, or who are fighting a coal-fired power plant and trying to also retrofit maybe the energy systems that they have to be more solar friendly, you know, things like that. Or we may give it to a group of kids that are learning about seed gathering and how to plant their native seeds and to save those seeds and to plant gardens and stuff, something really simple like that. Or we may provide money for a group of elders to mentor young people and have a gathering, you know, $500 to do this for gas money to go from this place to this place. Or we may put a wind turbine up at a reservation to run their radio station, like we did with Keeley Radio in Pine Ridge. So it's kind of all over the map, sort of what we've done. We've done stuff from Florida to Maine to Alaska to Hawaii to Chiapas, Mexico, where we funded some Zapatistas having some water tanks brought in to bring them fresh water. We funded some weavers down there so they could have materials to do their weavings so they wouldn't have to hike through the jungle to go to town every time they needed materials. We built them like a shed for that.
How did you first get interested in Native issues?
We saw Winona speak, actually.
Oh, really?
At an Earth Day. We were in Boston, I think. Yeah, it was like 1991 or something. And she was speaking, and me and Emily had been doing a lot of work with Greenpeace and like Sierra Club and stuff, and kind of more probably mainstream issues that, you know, were more on the radar. And we heard Winona speak, and she was speaking about all those things that are under the radar and all the ways that we should look at Native environmentalism and our own environmentalism through that lens. And it just it just kind of changed our whole minds about how we should be working. So we met with her and said, what can we do to help? You know, and she's like, when we started a group. So it was like 92 or 93, and we started Honor the Earth and made a board members of all Native people from different communities. And we've done tours where we play in communities near reservations and on reservations and try to do political lobbying to kind of leverage support for certain issues. And we've done, you know, like three or four of those. And then we've done like spot, like things like we went to Montana and worked on the heavy haul issue with the tar sands last spring, and kind of got that kind of battle going and worked with some different tribes on that. And just, you know, we kind of just go in different places, and it's community based. It's all based on what the communities ask, you know, of us. So I think our first Honor the Earth show, I think, was in Madison.
Oh,
I think
really?
This is the first place we did like a 4-day thing. We went to four different little places in the Midwest as our kind of trial run of like Honor the Earth events. And I think it was here because I remember meeting with, we met Eulalie that night. We met, you know, we met with Winona and all her friends, and we were just kind of like blown away by it. Yeah.
Were you involved in any of the Keystone Pipeline protests for the last year and a half?
I mean, I didn't go to any of those protests, but we were funding groups and working on that issue. And the part of it that we were working on a lot was the heavy haul through Montana, which was the equipment that was going up to the tar sands to pipe the oil down. So, yeah, I mean, that was a pretty big victory.
Sweet victory.
Yeah.
we'll see if it lasts, but it was sweet.
I mean, it may not last, but you know what? It doesn't. I mean, it matters, but it's like just the fact that it got that far, that's a big deal.
And a great alliance, Native people, ranchers, farmers, environmentalists. I mean, it wasn't just your typical.
That's what you want to do. Yeah. Those are the alliances. You know, if you can get an alliance between people that are in labor unions in coal mining country, for instance, and environmentalists, I mean, that is rare. But those kind of alliances where you're talking about people's health and the environment's health, but trying to also keep their jobs, you know, it's like that's the struggle. You know, we never want to be seen as just like environmentalists that don't pay attention to people's livelihoods. We want to be seen as we work with groups that have a solution. So if you're going to take a coal-fired power plant away, you're going to put in another type of energy that's going to hire people, because you don't want people to lose their jobs and be hungry. You want to pay attention to humanity while you're working on these and not just be blind to it all. And I think Honor the Earth is really good at sort of those relationships, you know. I mean, Winona's great as an ambassador kind of between communities, I think.
I'm speaking, of course, with Amy Ray of the Indigo Girls. She's a social activist, as I'm sure you've gathered and you probably knew already. And she's got a new solo album, I think it's your fourth, called Lung of Love. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I started making solo records back in, I guess, 2001. Met a band called the Butchies. They were a punk band, and we got to be friends. And I had an indie label, and I still do, and I was putting out other people's records. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh man, there's all these people I want to play with. So I did my first record, which was Stag, and then a few years later, I did Prom, and then Didn't It Feel Kinder, and this is the fourth one, and it's produced by a friend of mine, Greg Griffith, who also plays bass and some guitar on it, and helped me co-write a few songs. And I mean, my stuff started out as very punk, my solo stuff, and it's kind of, at this point, it's kind of a mixture between like pop, punk, rock, and country or something.
Well, there is just a huge range of styles. I've been listening to it the last 48 hours, and, you know, the first song, When You're Gone, You're Gone, reminded me of almost Jackson Brown style.
Totally Jackson Brown. It's, you hit it. I mean, the Eagles, Jackson Brown, totally. In fact, I was going to ask him to play piano on it, but then I was like, I was like, that'll be too much like Jackson if I do that.
and then you have this just Appalachia bluegrass song, The Rock's My Foundation, gospel bluegrass kind of thing. What was behind that one?
That one just came out of nowhere, really. I write some songs in that Appalachian tradition, and it just kind of came out of me, and we decided to put it on the record because it felt like a fun, bring in a whole different rhythm section, some players from North Carolina. I was working in Greensboro, so it was easy.
I love that song. It's a really beautiful song. Yeah. It's about being a sinner.
It's about being a sinner, and it's about the Trinity as a rock band, which I thought was a fun, for me, was just a fun thing to have a, you know, talk about.
Different notion of rock and roll heaven.
That's right.
And then you've got some other there's a classic love song gone bad there, Identity.
Yeah.
This is about falling in love with someone who's got a lot of baggage.
Yeah, we all have baggage. So it's about, I think it's about trying to overcome the baggage that we all have in our relationships and just break free of it and, you know, reinvent yourselves with the person and say, you know, everything's in the past that helped build us. Let's look at it positively and not hold on to it negatively.
Drop that baggage off.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. That's a really neat song. And then you've got one about Haiti. Did you go down to Haiti after the earthquake, or what inspired this?
I didn't go to Haiti, actually. That was totally inspired by just what was happening, you know. And I was reading article after article about what was going on there, and I started thinking a lot about just the U.S. relationship with Haiti, really, and the history of our relationship and sort of paternalism and how that works and when you step in to help, you know, how do you do that without being condescending and arrogant and being open to learning at the same time? And a country like Haiti has so much to teach us, you know, and I think we sometimes think, oh, they're so corrupt and they're young and they can't do this and this. You know, it's like we get this. I just think sometimes we get this. I mean, we're a great. I mean, I think the U.S. is a great country and we do great things, you know, in a positive way. We mean well. But I think sometimes we trip ourselves up and we are condescending and arrogant and like little kids that haven't learned from our mistakes.
You know, I think the people mean well. I don't know. The government always means well.
Yeah, well, sure. But I mean, you know.
And in Haiti, God, we've invaded there how many times in the last 120 years? But
yeah, so I was.
It's an amazing history that you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the history is what the song is really. It's like, you know, this is sort of nothing compared to what's gone on in the history of this. And we are resilient people, and we have things to show you about resiliency. And I think they did. Show us that. Right. You know, they're amazing, those people.
Speaking with Amy Ray, I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm the editor at the Progressive Magazine. This is Progressive Radio you're listening to. You've got another song on this album, Amy Ray, called Little Revolution. I like that because it seems to me, and maybe I'm misinterpreting, but you're talking to people who think, well, you know, you're getting close to 50. You know, yeah. you don't know what's going on. You talk about there being a little Joe Strummer in your DNA and Lenny Breedlove. I knew who Joe Strummer was from The Clash, of course. Lenny Breedlove, I didn't know. I looked her up, but why don't you tell me about Lenny Breedlove?
Lenny was in a band called Tribe 8, and a punk band. And I guess that would be the 90s, if I'm right, late 90s. And he goes by both, just... For me, and has written some really cool books, Godspeed, one of them, and I can't remember the other name of the other one, but anyway, she's a great writer too, and has like a one-person show that she does and takes on the road, and Joe Strummer is obvious for me. I was looking for an iconic woman, and Lenny is that for me. Like, she sort of is gender fluid, like, and is very strong and has come up through is in my generation and came up in a time when the articulation of gender was very different. And so she was a radical before her time. And I have a massive appreciation for the things that she writes and the music and the way that she was a very radical punk rock artist who did radical things on stage and really opened up the way for a lot of us, I think. So I had to give her props.
Well, it was an education for me, and I always appreciate that.
Yeah.
There's one line in one of your songs here that struck me too. You said, "We're tempted by their BS road or the BS road," and we can do better than that. And I love that kicker. But you know, you've resisted your whole career the total mainstream corporate commercial stuff. How'd you do that?
Well, I mean, we didn't resist it completely because we were on Epic, so we were part of a big corporation. We're not, you know, by any stretch of the means perfect in that way, but what we did is we basically said this is who we are and this is who we're going to be and this is the way we do things, and we sort of defined it together with each other right when we were starting. And took and kind of said, let's take it a day at a time and let's make decisions based on these things, you know, our integrity and this and this and this. And there were times when we disagreed, you know, with each other, me and Emily, but we have the same value system really and the same goal. So I think we just, you know, we have the same manager we had when we started, when we were 20. I mean, when we started, we were 16. But the first manager we had was when we were 23. We have the same guy. He's a very progressive guy. We have the same booking agent, like the same people around us. It's kind of like a family. So I think the way we did it was just grassroots all the way. You know, and like other artists that have really great, as role models, that have great systems and infrastructures, Ani DiFranco, Joan Baez, Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Brown, Ian MacKay from Fugazi. There's lots of people that we've known who have certain systems in place where they work and ways that they work. Pearl Jam, another one who we've learned from, REM, who helped us out and taught us about how to take care of the people that travel with you and how to pay attention to ticket prices and how to try to tour more environmentally and, you know, all the things that you – and those things actually keep you from sinking into that, like, ego world and all that other stuff that the corporate kind of world where you – where it's very easy to get, you know, like, eaten up by that and lose yourself and stuff. But if you're paying attention to all this other stuff, you don't have time. So you have to just, you know, really take care of your ecosystem around you. And we've just had a lot of great people in our community.
Ecosystem, ego system.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. You talk about your own indie label. That's still going strong, Damon Records?
Yeah, I mean, it's just putting out my stuff right currently in this last few years. But I'm hoping I can. I have a few, you know, I have records out on the label that are still active. We put a project out by John Trudell a long while back, and it's still like, my God, it's in like its 10th printing or something. And Utah Phillips has got some stuff on our label as well. And
yeah, that was a loss, Utah Phillips.
Oh, huge. What a great storyteller. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so we're still going strong. Yeah, I mean, who knows what I'm going to do next.
And does Emily get bothered by your solo career, or that she's totally cool with that?
She loves it, actually, because she's got other things that she wants to do too. So it gives her a break. You know, when I say I need to go tour for 3 months, she's like, oh, good, because I need to work on this book with my dad, or I've got this project I want to do. You know, her and her dad write together, and they have one book they put out, and they've got another one they're working on. So, you know, she's busy, you know, and I think for me it's an outlet, you know, and she comes to shows and sits in sometimes on electric guitar and, you know, plays lead. She's very supportive. I'm lucky, actually.
Wow, and you guys have been together touring for 30 years now or something.
Yeah, right? We've been playing since we were 16.
Oh, and it's amazing that you haven't driven each other crazy.
We have, but we got through that. Now we're on the other side of it.
like a lot of marriages. You
just got to go through the crazy time, and then you realize it's worth sticking through it.
Get through that and get over the petty stuff.
Yeah.
And then you can be on your own. What's next for you? You're going to go back to Indigo Girl Tour?
Yeah. Well, we're excited because we have because the election year is coming up, and we want to work on all these political things too. So we're going to do a series of political T-shirts and sell them to benefit organizations. So I think the first one we're going to do is on immigration, then we're going to do one on death penalty, and then I'm not sure what the third one's going to be yet, but we're going to do that project while we're touring, which will be fun. We're going to do a tour with a band called the Shadowboxers. They're a rock band that Emily kind of got to be friends with, young guys in their early 20s. And they're going to be our backup band as well as open for us. So we'll have like a rock band for half the show. And then we're going to start doing some shows with symphonies too. So we've got a full year coming up. We're pretty excited about it. And then we'll probably make another record at some point.
Well, it sounds like you got a lot on your plate. It's been real fun talking to you this last half hour. Amy Ray of the Indigo Girls and her solo latest album, Lung of Love. Thanks for being my guest.
Thanks for having me.
And you can find out more at amy-ray.com.
Today's program is available online at progressive.org. You can also write to us at 409 East Main Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Our music is by Mufa. Progressive Radio is produced by Elizabeth DiNovella and engineered at Audio for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin.